Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue to make our way through this amazing first chapter of the first letter of St. Peter. It's rich and uplifting, and it applies directly to your life and mine. It's wonderful to just stop and kind of follow the teaching of the church saying when you read the Bible, as you're reading it, put yourself in the situation as if the letter was written to you. Because in a way, it really was. I mean, Peter wrote this letter to a particular group of people in Asia Minor who were being persecuted, a young Christian community who's really having a hard time of it. There's lots of persecution and trial that they were undergoing. And Peter's their shepherd. He cares about them, so he's writing them a letter. We live through trials, not quite like this, at least not yet here in America, in the same kind of way. But we all have struggles, trials, burdens, things we're facing. And there's increasing opposition to what we believe in our culture today, too. And I think it's going to continue to get worse and intensify. And so there's great wisdom right here given to us from St. Peter, life-changing wisdom that can give us everything we need, the resources. It gives us access to the powerful resources that God wants to give us when we're walking through difficult circumstances in our lives or when we're facing opposition to the gospel and opposition to standing up and living in a way that Jesus desires us to live. It's been the way of Christians from the beginning. In fact, it's the way of our master, right? Jesus was crucified for bringing the kingdom of the Father, for proclaiming the kingdom in a world that's hostile to the kingdom. But Jesus broke the power ultimately of that kingdom. And he passed from death to life, and he began something entirely new. It's called the new creation, the new humanity that's born in the flesh and in the person of Jesus Christ. It's so transformational that literally there's nothing in this life that can harm us. I mean, yet people can physically hurt us. They can throw us in jail. They can do things to make life miserable for us. They can actually ultimately kill us, right? But nothing, not even death itself, the scripture is clear, can separate us from the love of God because we're united to Jesus. And where's Jesus? He's passed through death, and he's now at the right hand of the Father in heaven in all glory and majesty. And he's radiating the glory and power of God. All authority belongs to him. And as Peter told us, this is the source of a power now that we have that you cannot get apart from the person of Jesus and apart from God. It's one of the reasons why Jesus is our only Savior. What we're given is a living hope, an unshakable hope, a hope that really changes us. Pope Benedict said at one point, the one who hopes lives differently. Yeah, that's very true, because we're not slaves to this world, because we're not afraid of all the hardship this world can bring. And we'll see that as we go through this reading in the life of our brothers and sisters, who literally small bands of Christians have no real influence in society whatsoever. And they're now living a life following Jesus that runs right smack against the will of the pagan world around them. And they were paying a price for it. But they received the grace they needed. And one of the sources of that grace is this amazing hope. We see in Peter's letter here, he'll talk often about faith, hope, and love, what the church calls the theological virtues that are given to us by God in our baptism that are so important. Faith gives us access to God's revelation, to the person of Jesus, to be able to see God's saving work and his truth revealed in Jesus. And if faith is that not only capacity to see it, but to be moved by God, to be helped to entrust our entire life to him and to that truth. I surrender. Faith is a total surrender of our lives to Christ. It's deep, it's personal, it's internal, it's the whole person saying yes to the truth that's being revealed through Jesus. And then hope, we said, is the confident expectation that what I see in Jesus, his ascension to the right hand of the glory of the Father, his victory over the powers of sin and death and the world, the flesh, and the devil, I believe he did it. And I also believe that he's promised to give me freedom as well in the gift of the Holy Spirit, to have freedom that he himself had. And he's ultimately going to lead us to glory. And hope is the confidence that what we see in Jesus, we know one day, because of his promise and power, we shall possess. And boy, when a human being believes this, when we put away the lies, when the light of this truth shines in our heart and it drives out all the discouragement and the despair and the hopelessness and the anger and the bitterness and the sexual bondage and other kinds of passions and you name it, all that stuff which is clinging so close to us, the light of Christ begins to dispel that darkness and this truth begins to break us free from bondage to these things, and Jesus begins to make us new. He begins to recreate us. He begins us to conform our lives to his image. We become like him. It's fantastic. So here's Peter going on. I'll just read the first section again we've covered so far. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in his great mercy gave us a new birth to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And here's where we left off yesterday, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you who by the power of God are safeguarded through faith to a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the final time. So what's Peter saying? What Jesus has done as he's the faithful Son who in obedience to the Father became one of us so he could come and lift us all back to God. He became one of us so we could become like him. And it's not an automatic, it's not some vague force, it's not just some natural evolution that brings human beings into contact with a hope that can never disappoint us. Because everything the world can give us is eventually going to pass away. The richest, the biggest, the most powerful, everything that gives us consolation now in this world is going to pass away. And there's only one thing that will never pass away. It's God and God's life. And we're united to God's life through Jesus. He gives us a share in what belongs to him. And what belongs to him? He said the Father has given him the kingdom. All power, glory, honor, and authority belong to Jesus. The future of God's great creation, what we see and what we don't see, from the angels of heaven and the saints that are united to them, to the earth and the cosmos, and what we don't even understand about it yet. All of it is under the rule of Jesus Christ. He's the Lord of all. It's his possession. It belongs to him, including each one of us. And so if we die with Christ in baptism, and we rise to new life, being united with him in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's the living link. It's the life principle. It's the third person of the Holy Trinity that's given to us, and we become that. The Spirit's the one who's given us power to become children of God. The Spirit is the one who has made us a temple of the living God. And friends, that's for every person who's died in Christ, who's had their sins forgiven, who's been baptized into him and has entered his church. We sometimes think the only people who get it are people who seem perfect to us, or we look around and say, boy, that person is so much better than I am, and they have so much more going for them than I do. I'm not much. I'm a poor, broken sinner. Guess what? That's really the condition of the entire human race. No matter how glorious people may look, and any advancement people have toward virtue in life, it's God's gift anyway, right? This is for everybody who says yes to Jesus. It's not something I accomplish on my own strength, and therefore I deserve. I don't deserve it. So what's Peter talking about? An inheritance. Everything that belongs to Jesus, Jesus is giving us a share in. And this is an inheritance, unlike every inheritance on this earth, this one will never pass away. It's imperishable. It'll never perish. You know, coins can perish, dollars perish, mansions and civilizations perish. Everything is defiled by sin, fallenness, right? And it's all fading away, including our life in the flesh. Everything in this world is ultimately fading away, but not the life that entered this world in Jesus. That will never fade. It'll never be defiled. It'll never perish. And it's kept in heaven for you. That is, it's the life of Jesus at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. And it's a down payment. And St. Paul says the same thing in Ephesians chapter 1. He said this in verse 11 and following, "In him, according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things, according to the counsel of his will," that's a mouthful. Jesus accomplishes all things, the Father and the Father's plan and purpose. Verse 12, he says, "We who first hoped in Christ," there's that word hope again, right? We who were first to see Jesus risen from the dead, Paul is saying, and to grasp the meaning of his resurrection, his ascension into glory, and the confidence that it gives us, and the power and assurance that it gives us that we too will share in his life. We who first hoped in Christ have been destined and appointed to live for the praise of his glory. That's a key thing that applies to each one of us as well. We who have this living hope, we who have received this inheritance, we who know where our life is ultimately headed, we're living in the hands of Jesus Christ. We're living in the hands of the Lord Almighty. No power can conquer him. You belong to him, and he's absolutely loyal to you. And he's already given you a share in what belongs to him. Now, he wants you to be set on his purposes in the world. And his purpose is, as Paul says here, he's destined you now. He's appointed you to live for the praise of his glory. So St. Paul would say, I just want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. St. Paul said, I want to just live to please him. I want to know what gives glory to my glorious King, and that's how I want to live. See, he could let go of all the anxiety and the fear and the pain that's in the world, you know, that dragged him down, and he can stay focused on what matters. In verse 13, he continues. This is Ephesians chapter 1. It says, "In him you also, who have heard the word of truth." What's the word of truth? The gospel of your salvation. The good news about Jesus' saving work on the cross and how he wants to apply it to you in baptism and give you a share in his victory. He said, "In him you also who have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and have believed in him." This is so important. To believe in Jesus is to radically accept his understanding of reality and stop insisting on your own understanding of reality or your own reality as truth. There's one truth. It's God. And that truth is revealed in his beloved Son. So to believe in Jesus means to accept the truth as he brings it to us and then surrender our lives totally in trust to him and begin to live for him. Said the gospel of our salvation, and you've believed in him. When you did this, he says, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Sealed with the Holy Spirit. Who, verse 14, he says, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. That treasure, that eternal glory, being able to share fully in the glory and majesty of God, that's being held in heaven for us and protected by God himself and safeguarded through faith and our trusting in him. So faith, hope, and love keep us united to God, and the inheritance, we've already received the first installment of what's going to come to us in full payment when we pass from death to life if we die in Jesus. If we die in the faith. So the Holy Spirit is the down payment, the guarantee of our inheritance, friends. It's coming for all who believe. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you a new booklet called Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. Recently, Pope Francis said the whole world is at war trying to destroy marriage. Marriage is a battleground today, but God has made marriage to be a blessing. And this little booklet contains wisdom that will bring life and joy and healing to your marriage. If you'd like a free copy of Transform Your Marriage, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.